Welcome to the National Feed. This is episode 10.
To the Batmobile.
Just like a crazy person.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
You're excited. Feeling simple.
You have some mighty interesting people online.
No! Turn it on! Turn it back on!
Welcome back to another Nashville Feed podcast. I'm Dave, and after a long hiatus, I am back, and tonight...
Why the long hiatus, Dave?
Well, because I was lazy.
You were busy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And tonight there was a solid Nashville educational event. It was after workshop featuring the discussion of 360 deals and technology. Of course, I just kind of stuck with 360 deals since they're so controversial. And I am here with...
Josh Talley of Oh Boy Records.
So, Josh, what did you think of the discussion tonight? I mean, are you for or against 360 deals? Being at a label yourself, what's your thoughts?
I think it depends on the situation that you're in as an artist. And I think that, you know, as a breaking artist, and I may be wrong, but I feel like as a breaking artist, you should not sign away revenue streams that are going to earn you your living for... you know, while you're trying to break. You know, for certain individuals with an established fan base, I think that it makes sense to get the money up front. But it all depends on the situation that you're in.
So what do you think about the idea that they brought up that it's not solidified yet as is? We don't know if a 360 deal is going to work out in the long term. I mean, and also, is your label doing any?
Well, actually, it's interesting to say that because my label is basically caters to one artist, John Prine, who, you know, when he established the label in 1979-ish, they set up a 360 deal probably before anybody else did. We set up a partnership with my boss, Al Bonetta. They're co-owners on the label. And we've partnered with John on his merchandise efforts, his recorded music efforts, and his touring efforts for 30 years. So, in my opinion, in John's world, it worked out really well.
What other artists do you have on the label? I mean, are they all what we would consider a 360 deal now, or?
I mean, right now we have a lot of baby bands. I mean, we pretty much cater just to John. But the big bands that we have on board, I mean, we do some traditional deals, we do some 360 deals. You know, it just kind of depends on the situation.
Do they? Would you say that the baby bands are the ones that are going to benefit the most from the 360 deals because you have the benefit of a full 360 degrees of label support as kind of what you would expect, but it's not really what you would consider?
You know, as far as baby bands go, I feel like, you know, if you have a label that's into your music and what you're doing, then I don't really think it matters if you have a 360 deal or not. You know, and obviously, we're kind of a unique label for Nashville in that, you know, we deal with a very small client base, and we focus on the clients that we have. And, you know, I think that there's more to be said for maximizing, you know, all of the experiences and just about everything that goes along. Like, for instance, with John Prine, you know, we maximize what we can for him on a level that, you know, that really benefits him and us. You know, I feel that, you know, if you control spending and you focus on, you know, the things that your artist wants, I think it's going to be beneficial for everybody, whether it's a 360 deal or it's not.
What if your artist wants a pink elephant in a circus? Is that cost effective?
there's always boundaries for things.
Right.
But as far as a pink elephant goes, you know, we'll do that if it'll make the artist happy in certain instances.
All right. So, what's the one thing you learned tonight from the discussion that they had about the 360 deals?
I thought that Chip's point about benchmarking.
Chip Petrie of
Well, I don't know his actual law firm.
Actually, I don't either. Please disregard if this is
But he's a lawyer. I know
he's
that.
Lawyer. He's really
interesting.
Yeah, and I thought that his benchmarking idea was interesting. When you're going into a deal with a label, to be able to benchmark and say, you know, you guys have to do your job to a certain level before you have access to my other revenue streams. I think that that's really important. And I don't think
that's what I thought too. I didn't even think about that idea. Is that how do you get the label once you enter this deal where they kind of get a little bit of everything? How do you guarantee that they're going to produce on their side? When as an artist you want to succeed, that's what you want to do. So there's that motivation there.
Exactly.
But for a label, how do you? What's the motivation there? It's like if you're not the label head and you're not the guy that's gung-ho over this artist,
right.
What's the motivation?
Right, I just think that it's great that you, you know, obviously I think you have to have a certain amount of bargaining power to be able to facilitate that type of a contract. But if you can, get into that. Tell your label that you absolutely need a certain level of support, interest, and sales before they dip into your merchandising and especially your touring revenue.
That, well, getting back there to the people that are listening is... What's brought up is when you're doing a 360 deal, instead of giving them access to everything right away, you have certain criteria that are met before they can have access to other revenue streams. Like your album single has to reach this level on the Billboard chart, or your album has to sell this many copies, or
right.
Touring has to hit this level before we can guarantee that the revenue is expanded to other areas.
Right, and I think, you know, in the end, all 360 deal is a partnership. And if you can structure the deal so that everybody's happy and you feel as though your deal is good, then it's a good deal. I mean, otherwise, I mean, that, you know, you can go with the traditional deal, but if you feel like you're getting screwed, then you just might be.
I agree. And what was the quote of the night that I put on Twitter was, what was it? He with the money rules or something like that. What was that?
The golden rule. He with the gold rules.
And that's still true today with the internet or anything because, I mean,
yeah.
On my blog, The Natural Feed, which is what people are listening to this right now, the number one of the top blog posts is 360 deals. Are labels becoming venture capital?
Right.
Because I mean, there's two things that labels offer: the money and marketing and distribution. Well, three things.
Right.
And to be honest, distribution is becoming less powerful. Marketing is still something where you need a lot of money for.
Sure.
And venture capital, which is what generates what you need for the marketing.
Yeah. Well, I think every artist's situation is different, but I feel like, you know, if you're an artist that knows the direction and the people that need to be marketed your music, then, you know, maybe alternative means of funding is the way to go. Alternatively, if you're an artist that's looking for, you know, somebody to take the ball and run with it and find your audience, maybe a record label is to go. I mean, it really just depends on how, you know, hands-on you want to be as an artist.
Very true. Well, thanks, Josh, for your commentary tonight and your insight. And I hope we don't get you fired from this.
I don't think that'll be the case. Thanks, Dave.
Nah, you're a valuable asset. And if any of your bosses are listening, I'm telling the absolute truth. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
All right, so we continue our podcast here. We're still in the Flying Saucer after the solid event, after work shop 360 deals. I'm here with, what's your name and what do you do?
My name is Pinky Gonzalez, and I'm pretty much a full-time slacker at this point.
And your name is?
Steve Keller. I have a company called Ivy Music that does audio branding.
So, guys, what do you think about the 360 deal? I mean, what's the one thing that you learned tonight, and what's the one thing that you took away, or opinions and thoughts? Pinky.
What I learned tonight was how flexible the deal structure itself is. There doesn't really seem to be a standard for it. My thoughts on it is that it's pretty much a load of crap, and that most of these companies are really trying to secure the rights without knowing exactly how to apply them yet. So they end up outsourcing the individual components that they're not going to manage to other companies, which would otherwise have been accessible to that artist in the first place. But as they try and figure this out, they just want the option to be able to apply it as the future unfolds, but they don't necessarily have the answer in you know, first and foremost.
Steve, same question, but you had mentioned during the presentation about the idea of leverage. So 360 deals plus the idea of leverage.
Well, I mean, to me, the idea of leverage is, it's simple branding. If an artist is a brand, as with any brand, you build awareness and equity, and you've got a way to really leverage that. That's why when you look at Live Nation and the 360 deals that they're doing, why they have such huge price tags is because of the brands. And you can take a look at that brand and you can say, here's how much it's worth, here's how much we can project that it's worth, and here's how much we can monetize it for. You know, personally, I think from a label perspective, the whole reason they're doing the 360 brands is, as Pinky said, they're trying to come up with a way to continue to fund their existence. And they've lost control, really, of the distribution and the product. I mean, what is it that they're selling anymore, ultimately?
What happens when the CD goes away?
When the CD goes away, well, the brands don't have anything to really package. I mean, it's an interesting question when you look at music from a digital perspective. What is it that you're really selling? There's no longer really a package, per se.
Or a product.
It's a file, which is why there's a part of me that sees more and more music is going to be given away as a means to an end.
So like a advertising-based model where... Not. Yes, this is Jenny.
Hi there.
Say for instance, like Peter Gabriel with We7, you know, who's looking at an ad-supported model, or
you think that'll work?
Now it's gonna be interesting to see. I mean, I think Peter's pretty savvy in how he puts things together. I don't know, but I think more and more the music is going to be given away, which is going to make some interesting discussions in the future around, I think, copyright. Where do songwriters fit in all of that? I mean, if I was a songwriter, I would be looking for ways to simply record my own material instead of giving it away to an artist, because there's more opportunities as a songwriter for you to be able to do that and monetize that yourself.
What about the idea of, they had mentioned during the event, the 360 deal for publishing?
Well, I mean, I think that's smart. I can see where publishers could look at, we're investing in a writer, we potentially could invest in masters that we could own, we could invest in a writer that could ultimately be an artist. I don't know, in some ways that makes more sense to me from a publishing standpoint than even a label standpoint. You know, if I was a label, I would be looking at, could I buy a management company? I would be leveraging my publishing companies more. I mean, it was always interesting to me that you have, you know, Warner Brothers Music and you have Warner Chappell Publishing, and they're such two distinct companies where anymore it's almost like, well, are we going to try and merge some of these things? To me, the bottom line is the artist as a brand and as an entrepreneur. And the 360 deal to me is more of the artist taking a look at, what do I need to bring into my portfolio to take care of distribution, publishing, management, and structure it that way, instead of saying, well, let me find a label that's going to basically give me venture capital, but at the end what they're going to want in return You know, you'd be better off trying to find a venture capitalist than to get involved with a label. Find a venture capitalist, build your own 360 network, and at some point then you'll be able to leverage that brand for even more if you want to go to a Live Nation or to some other company that's going to give you a huge advance on the front end because they're basing it on the projections.
So the idea of I want to be a rock star, I create a garage band, I start touring, and I got a big record deal, and suddenly it's pina coladas and umbrellas in the Caribbean and multi-million dollar records is over.
Well, I think that's pretty adolescent thinking. In some ways, I think this is just about growing up. From an entrepreneurial standpoint, I think it's thinking about how do I run a business? And in some ways, it's always been about that. If you look at the reason why Madonna has been able to command large numbers is why. From the very beginning, she always understood herself.
She was a brand. She was a brand almost as much as...
She built that. But, you know, you need to find out what Pinky thinks.
So Pinky is being a brand and being a brand... Creating leverage, is that the most important thing?
Yeah, I think it is, but it's if you look at it in such black and white terms, obviously that takes away from what the original intent is. There will not ever be a shortage of bands making music for the sheer pleasure of entertaining people. And the dream that is associated with that, which is how to make a living, how to pay your bills doing that, will continue to survive, and people that are savvy enough to quote-unquote leverage that position into a means of income will be plentiful. So it really comes down to who is the artist, what is their motivation, and how are they building it. And frankly, we've had a lot of years of relatively low pressure on the artist in terms of you just go make music, and we'll put you out on a tour, and you just go play those same songs every night, and everything will be fine, and we'll all make a bunch of money. It'll be great. And now it's turning into much more of an active dynamic where the band needs to understand the business that they're in. If you don't want to be in business, just go play a bar. Just go make music. It's fine. There's no shame in that. But if you want to make a career as a musician, you need to be more savvy about the business that you're running. Your manager is your GM. He's not your savior. Your record label is your distributor. They are your source of getting your product from point A to point B. Make no mistake about it. This is a new world where you are the product and you're creating something for mass consumption, and you need a network of people and or companies to put that that process together. So there's nothing wrong with it. It will not end now. It will not be all that much different in the future, I don't think, than it is now. Oh, I'm good. That's right. God bless editing.
It's okay. We're just recording in a bar.
That's a real world right there.
All right. Uncomfortable break, but final question for both of you. 360 deal from Nashville perspective. What's verdict? Would you say there's a verdict yet?
Based on personal experience, there's no such thing. But you're going to get an investor that's going to lock up the rights to various revenue streams. I personally have seen them outsource the individual streams that they're not good at. Merchandise, web, touring, promotion, publicity. They're going to outsource all of that anyway. Once upon a time, they were going to let that position lie in the hands of the manager or whomever the band might delegate to make that decision. Now they're going to own that right, and they are going to make that decision for you. But there's really no such thing as a 360 deal currently, outside of contractually they're going to own it and then outsource it. So is it a good idea? No. Does it make sense? Yeah. Is it going to remain in the current format that it is? Absolutely not. No. Definitely not. Will one company own a career in the future? Sure. Will it look like it does right now? No, absolutely not.
Okay, same question, Steve.
I totally agree with everything that, Pinky said. I think if you look at the 360 deals right now, and you take Live Nation, for example, you know, now you've got the CEO who started the whole concept with them no longer at the company. The company stock has dropped, and they're questioning the viability of some of the deals that they've done. I think in theory, again, this idea of the artist as a brand and having all of these aspects of a portfolio tied around them is extremely important. But I don't know that any one company at the moment is set up to be able to do it. My opinion, management is probably more valuable than ever in the life of an artist. I think the managers are uniquely positioned to be able to take a look at the entire landscape and partner with an artist to pull the elements together that they need. But I think it's going to call for a new breed of manager, a manager that's able not to think in terms of, okay, a label deal is where we need to go, but in terms of what are new opportunities that are available, being able to think beyond, at least in this town, radio, discovering what it means to break an artist, and how to help an artist have enough of a self-sustaining career that they can keep doing what they love doing. So, you know, I think in principle, as Pinky said, the 360 idea is a good idea, but I don't see any models right now with any one entity that's going to be able to make it work with the margins where they are at the moment.
Thanks, Pinky. Thanks, Steve. I say good insights. We'll see what happens with the 360 deal. Oh, wait, one more?
I would just like to say that, what goes along with the one company is not in a position to manage the whole thing currently goes back to what Steve is involved in and what the historical success of this business is really based on, which is you get experts in their individual field that apply what they do to what your brand is, and chances are good that they're going to do that across, that they're going to take multiple clients and do what they do best for those clients. Until whomever owns this 360 deal understands that you cannot be the ultimate expert in everything that you do, really plays itself out, you're going to find that they are the master, or the jack of all trades and the master of none. So it is currently in an artist's best interest. I don't know what's going on in the background. It's awesome. Somebody just got an awesome
360 deal just went down.
So it's a 360 deal, baby. No, but I think that you're going to find a jack-of-all-trades situation where an artist is literally better served to find specialists on a small scale that understand the individual business components that they are interested in rather than one big conglomerate that's trying to make $10 million or $100 million or $1 billion on a big brand when they don't really know the stepping stones that... That need to be walked to get to that point. U2 didn't start out as a billion-dollar worldwide enterprise. They started out as a group in a garage making music, and it was step after step after step after step after step. And they had the foresight and the intelligence to know who to work with and when and how to build this enterprise. But to think that one company is going to be able to replicate that kind of career just because they have the money to invest is a lot like a venture capitalist saying, we met some great coder who had a good idea for some website, and now it's Google. It does not work that way. And they're still, I think that they know that, so we're not, you know, this is not some great revelation. But there's less talk about the reality of the day-to-day and the steps that need to be taken than about this new deal structure and about the money that these companies have to spend. And frankly, as a publicly traded company, they don't have that much time to test this model before they need to abandon it. And Live Nation, in my opinion, will not survive quickly based on the kind of deal structure that they're doing. So they're wise to pull off of this $100 million deal for everybody that qualifies, and to invest more time in how is this playing out who are our partners, how do we build a new artist into this new world, because they're really just capitalizing on existing fame, and that's fine, there's money in that, but to be a publicly traded company and try to trade on tomorrow's artists, they are so totally off the mark currently.
Well, nobody's been broken by a 360 deal yet.
Exactly right. So that is the challenge. How do you prove that what you're doing now applies to new artists and is sustainable? They are not even in the ballpark of that now. So, if you can sign a bunch of mainstream artists, great. It's good. It's a good time to do that. It's fine. I don't fault them for it. But we are not talking about a revolution in this business. We're talking about a cashing in on the current fame that exists.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Well, you just, between the two of you, just created about 3 or 4 more questions for me to ask. But I won't, because it's late here and everybody's probably sick and listening to me. And, never sick. But we'll get you guys together again if you want. I would really appreciate that. I'm sure all of our listeners would. All 5 of them. Hi.
Hi, probably. Listeners. What's up, dude?
Thanks for listening.
Steve,
another
Henry, Dave, it's you,
Bob. Anyways, thank you for listening this time, and hopefully we won't be another long period of time before our next episode. Thanks again. Thanks, guys.
Bye bye.
Woohoo!
And it's calling on the radio.